Thank you, Greg and team, and good morning, everybody. Glad to see you today, and welcome to our first service. Can everybody hear okay? Everybody hear okay? Okay, good. Here in the month of January, we've been in a message series that we're calling Old School Lessons for a New Year. And over the last, this being the fifth week, we've looked at Old Testament stories, Old Testament characters from the life of Leah, Samson, Miriam, Jochebed, and today, the well-known story of Daniel in the den of lions. And Daniel in the lion's den really has two main points of emphasis. First, how Daniel got out of the lion's den, but also, equally important, how Daniel got in. How he got out by God's delivering power, but also how Daniel got in the lion's den because of his clear and uncompromising convictions and devotion to God. Daniel was a godly man willing to go into a den of lions rather than compromise his testimony to the living God. There are two ways to live your life. By the way, which way are you living? There are two ways. You can either live by consensus or by conviction. How about you? Are you a consensus person? Well, what everybody else is wearing, the way everybody else is talking, the road everybody else is on, or are you a person of conviction? And please never confuse stubbornness with conviction. They're not related. Stubbornness is all about you. Person of conviction, it's all about God. Daniel is a role model because he lived by conviction. How would you practice your faith if it was illegal to be a Christian? One of the first statements I want to put up on the screen this morning is a question. What's the lasting message of your life? Is the lasting message of your life, as of now, is it one of compromise or is it one of conviction? Is it one of consensus or is it one of conviction? Have you made up your mind not to compromise so that God can use you just like he could use a man like Daniel? Well, here's a story from the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all of the other administrators and high officers. And because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Now, you need to know that this is the second world power to recognize exceptional ability and exceptional character in Daniel. He's an older man now. Don't think of him now as being in his, you know, a young guy like he's in his 50s. Think of him now as like and he's a little older and he's probably in his mid-80s or so. Verse 4. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they just couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. What do you do when you can't find something? Answer, you make it up. Daniel was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. Let's leave it right there on that screen for a moment. Don't you want it to be said of you after your next employee evaluation? What's she like? What's he like? Faithful, always responsible, completely trustworthy. I know of one employee many years ago was asked by his boss to lie for him, to lie for the boss. Something like, hey, I got to be gone for a while, just tell, and, you know, make up some story. And this employee said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. And the boss got angry at the employee because he wouldn't lie for him. But the employee said something so profound. He said, "Sir, you need to know, though, and you need to feel good about this, because if I will not lie for you, you need to know I will not lie to you." Daniel, faithful, always responsible, completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. You got to know, this Daniel, he's taking his faith to work, isn't he? He's a marketplace missionary. In our culture, in 2010, we need more of those. We need some marketplace missionaries. And may I just ask you this morning, what does your life look like on the job before a watching world? What's the message your life is communicating? What do people sense as they listen to you? What do people sense as they watch you? Do they sense your devotion to God? Well, one of the things in Daniel that we learn, and here's a second thing I'd like to put up on the screen, and that is what we cultivate in our private life, it shapes our public life. And I don't mean public where you're standing up in front of 1,000 people. I just mean public as you operate in your day-to-day zone. What you pour in privately will get poured out publicly. And what we see with Daniel is a man who poured himself into God, and that became the seedbed for his character and his influence. And even unbelievers could see that this man is a class act. But some were jealous, and here's what happens. Verse 6. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and they said, "Long live King Darius. We're all in agreement. We administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, we're all in agreement that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, human or divine, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions." And Darius is thinking, hey, that's pretty good. I'm liking this. I'll be God of the month. "And now, your majesty," verse 8, "issue and sign this law so that it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked." And so King Darius, he likes the idea of being God of the month. He signs it. Nobody can pray to any god except me. Verse 10 inspires me. Verse 10 reminds me that I want to be like this. I don't want to be a spiritual jellyfish. I don't want to be the kind of person who lives by my whims and silly emotions. Emotions need to warm you. Men, emotions need to warm you, but live by your convictions. Ladies, emotions need to warm you, but live by your convictions. Verse 10. "But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed," this law that says you can't pray to anybody but King Darius, "he went home, he knelt down," notice, "as usual, in his upstairs room with the windows open toward Jerusalem. And he prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God." Folks, it takes some courage to live by godly convictions and not by consensus. And Daniel just ignores this order to join the God of the Month Club. He says, there is no law that can change who God is, and there is no law that can change what God deserves. When Daniel knew, he knows this law has been signed, still, what does he do? I mean, get this. He goes to his house. He does not go to the woods. He doesn't go to an inner closet. He goes to the second floor where everybody can see. He opens the windows, the ones pointing towards Jerusalem, not towards Babylon, towards Jerusalem. And he prays not once early in the morning, 3 times a day. And he doesn't use language that's nebulous. He prays to his God. He is making a public statement. I belong to the living God. Folks, let me ask you, what kind of faith is it that can't go public? Is there a kind of legitimate faith that's weaselly? Is there a kind of legitimate faith that's so timid that it gets blown out by the faintest of evil winds? And so he boldly says, this is who I am. And I would rather face death than not pray. I would rather get thrown to a lion than dishonor my God. And so verse 13, here's what happens. Then they, these critics of Daniel, they told the king, that man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, he's ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God three times a day. And hearing this, the king was deeply troubled. And he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. I mean, he loves Daniel. He respects him. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. And you think, well, why don't he just change his mind? Because he lives in a culture where when a king signs something, he just can't change it. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, Your Majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, that no law that the king signs can be changed. And so at last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. And the king said to him, May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. You know, a lion's den, here's what it would look like. It was a huge opening in the ground. And there would be two compartments separated by a partition, and there would be a doorway that could be raised and lowered from above. And surrounding the exterior above ground, at ground level, would be a wall about 4.5 feet tall, so you could look over and look in. And I don't know about you, I can think of a lot of, if I had to choose my way of leaving this world, being thrown to a wild animal would not be my choice. Which leads to something else I'd like to put up on the screen. A great danger, if we're not careful, is that pain avoidance can become our ultimate value. Pain avoidance was not Daniel's ultimate value. If pain avoidance is your ultimate value, you are never going to take a risk. You're never going to take a stand. You're going to compromise and settle and justify. And you will avoid those needed but difficult conversations. You will be a spiritual jellyfish if pain avoidance is your ultimate value. And you will pray prayers that sound like this. Oh God, deliver me from any difficulty. Oh God, deliver me from any form of complication. Take away all of my challenges. Make things so easy. And our goal is pain avoidance. And in our culture, we've got a name for that. We call it the American dream. But the American dream is not always God's dream for you. Sometimes God's calling you into moments of deep devotion, and they are painful moments. And God is now calling Daniel into a hard moment, into a moment of deep devotion. Daniel has no guarantee he's going to be delivered. I mean, let me ask you, did God always deliver his faithful saints? No. Sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. Daniel has no guarantees. Elsewhere in the book of Daniel, you've got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into a fiery furnace. And they said the words, they said, look, God may deliver us, God may not. We don't have any guarantees. Whatever God chooses to do, he's still worthy of our devotion. And we're not going to bow down to some false god here. And that's Daniel. Pain avoidance was not his ultimate value. Is that your ultimate value? Make sure things always just stay easy. And you never take a risk. never step out in faith, and never really look for a moment to let your devotion to God be clear. Verse 19, very early the next morning, the king got up and he hurries out to the lion's den. And when he got there, he calls out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you served so faithfully able to rescue you from the lions?" And Daniel answered, "Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." You know, when I was reading through that again over and over and over this week, I thought, isn't it telling that Daniel speaks with such respect to King Darius? He could have said, "You know, you're no god of the month. You're just a little two-bit wannabe." But he still speaks with respect. But he honors his God. "My God's deliver me." I wonder, what did Daniel and that angel talk about during the night? I got another phrase I want to put up here on the screen. Sometimes God delivers people from the lion's den. Sometimes God delivers people in the lion's den. The lion's den is the kind of place I'd just as soon be delivered from, because it's dark and scary and dangerous. But there are many situations in life you will not be delivered from, but you may be delivered in. There will come a moment for all of us here when you will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you will not be delivered from it. But when you walk into that valley, the Lord will be with you and he will deliver you in it. For Daniel in the lion's den, God shows up. And God does more than show up. God shows off. And God makes his name famous throughout the land. Throughout the land. The lion's den was dark, scary, and dangerous. But ultimately, that's where God met Daniel in such a surprising way. And by the way, this story, Daniel in the lion's den, did you know that this story was on the mind and the heart of the Apostle Paul during the last stages of his life? The very last book he wrote was 2 Timothy. Paul is in prison. He is facing his own execution. And this Daniel story is on his mind. Listen to Paul's words from 2 Timothy 4. "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me, and may it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. And the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." And you read that and you think, well, wait a minute. Didn't they kill Paul? Yes, they did. And the Lord rescued him and delivered him safely into his eternal kingdom. The fifth thing I'd like to put up here on the screen is that God is always positioning us into the right place, always. But occasionally the right place feels like the wrong place. Have you ever noticed that most every faith story starts out as a fear story? God, nobody wants to walk into the lion's den. And yet for Daniel, it became the signature faith story of his life. And I want you to catch this now, that often the right place feels like the wrong place early on. Everything about the lion's den feels wrong. Nothing feels right about it. But let me ask you, what would Daniel have missed had he compromised his convictions? Every faith story, virtually every faith story, starts out like a fear story until God shows up in due time. And here's what happens after Daniel is delivered. Daniel's God is made famous. Verse 25, then King Darius sent this message to the people of, notice, of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you, he says. And I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. I was in the God of the Month Club, but I'm no God. That phrase, living God, that's one of the key phrases in the Bible. If you had to ask me the theme of the Bible, I would tell you as follows. The living God loves you. There is a God. He is alive. He is the living God. He is worthy of your devotion. He is worthy of your worship. He is worthy of your adoration. He is worthy of your life. He is the living God. He will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. And His rule will never end. And He rescues and saves His people. This living God performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. And so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Here's the sixth and last thing I'd like to put up on the screen. It's a prayer request. I want to ask you if you're willing to pray it. Would you be willing to pray this prayer? God, I want opportunities to show my devotion to you. God, I want opportunities to show my devotion to you. Would you say that with me? God, I want opportunities to show my devotion to you. Can you say that? Say it boldly. Let's pray it. God, I want opportunities to show my devotion to you. Regardless of whatever the way everybody else is talking, God, I want an opportunity to show my devotion to you. Regardless of what everybody else is wearing, God, I want an opportunity to show my devotion to you. Not for my credit, for yours. God, regardless of the road everybody else is on, God, I want an opportunity to take your road and to show my devotion to you. I don't want to be a spiritual jellyfish. I don't want to live by consensus. I want to live by conviction. And the point of Daniel's story is not trust God and you'll always be delivered from every lion's den. You will be delivered from your most oppressive foe. You will be delivered from your sin. You will be delivered from the evil one, and you will be safely delivered into God's eternal kingdom. You're not always going to be delivered from every hassle. And the point of this story is not trust God and you get delivered from every hassle. The point of Daniel's story is there is a living God, and He is worthy of your praise and your devotion and your life. And this living God loves you, and this living God invites you to love Him back. And you can be a servant of the Most High. You can be a person of godly conviction. And I would ask you today to be that one. Be the one who honors God. Be the one who prays. God, I want opportunities to show my devotion to you. And when that opportunity arises, give me your power and strength. Okay, I'm through. What I'd like to do is pray over you. And in just a moment, we're going to ask you to turn in a communication card. You'll see it there in your order of worship. And to our guests and to our members, we ask that you take a moment and just fill out that communication card. And it's very important because there's room there for you to indicate a prayer request. And we would love to pray for you this week. You may simply want to write down, would you pray that God would give me opportunities to show my devotion to Him? We'll do that. But whatever your prayer request may be, if you'll jot that down. Perhaps you would like to indicate and communicate a desire to have a spiritual conversation with one of our church leaders. You'd like to indicate a desire to place membership here, to talk with somebody about baptism. This is just a great, easy opportunity for you to communicate. Okay, let me lead us in prayer, then we'll have our concluding song. Pray with me, please. Lord, would you forgive us for asking that the way just always be easy when a lot of your people have had very challenging assignments? And I'm not asking to make up something difficult just for the sake of it being difficult, but I am asking that you give us opportunities to show our devotion to you. And forgive us for thinking that, you know, you're forgetting us because one small thing goes amiss in our life. Lord, I do pray for those today who are here who feel powerless and wondering if their prayers are being answered. And in that time where we don't see or feel that our prayers are being answered, or we're really afraid about something, remind us that faith stories often start as fear stories. Help us, O God, to visualize that you're right there with us, to visualize your presence, giving us courage, holding us up, supporting us, sheltering us. Lord, I pray for every believer here who, having already started to walk with you, perhaps they've faced a moment of looking back, a moment of recklessness. Lord, renew them in your spirit so that there is energy to stand and stand boldly. Give us authority in your name to do your will and to be people who bring pleasure to you. We want you to be proud of us. Give us grace, peace, mercy. We thank you, God, for all of these things that are ours in Christ Jesus. This we pray in His name. Amen.